First of all, Andrew, let me offer my condolences to Kemar Roach
Right.
on the passing of his dad. I should have said that at the beginning.
Okay, fair
and
enough.
Also a good a former schoolmate of me, Simeon Bradshaw, who's from St. Philip, actually.
Yes, yes, yes.
Family to Coppin, who played for BET.
Yes.
He passed away here in England as well, I think, last week in Birmingham in the South.
He's a cousin of mine.
Andrew, for West Indies cricket, yes, for West Indies, for West Indies, for the next test match, he's going to call for deep soul searching. The players need to hold their hands up. I'm talking about the batsmen, Andrew. They need to hold their hands up and say to the captain, we're finished, we're talking, we're going to perform now. It's all about performing. It's going out there backing yourself. The chief selector was on this show and he said that there's no replacement. The cupboard is bare. Or a team is playing simultaneously with the test matches and they're getting beat too. So where do you draw? Where do you draw the line with the West Indies cricket? Where do you draw this line to get these guys to perform?
Oh dear.
And I think that Jason has said it right. It is time to start performing and stop the talking. So those batsmen have to go there and decide on themselves. Look, we are going to bat now for West Indies cricket. This is no more Papi show. And they need to do it in the next test match that starts soon. Because a lot is hinging on the performances of West Indies cricket. This world cricket we're dealing with. Cricket West Indies finances are down, COVID-19. But what are we making from this tour in New Zealand? So Toby talk about facilities. Where are we going to get the money from? Where West Indies cricket board is going to inject some money into the territorial boards? It's true these guys performing and get people to come on board to put money in our cricket. They need to buckle down, Andrew. I'm sure better commitment and application when that second test match blows off in New Zealand. That's all you can ask for them to do. It can't be so hard. They have everything they want.
All right, let's go and take another call. Lots of calls tonight. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hi, good evening, Andrew.
Oh, Randolph, it's your time of the year. There you become then Rudolph.
Yeah, good. Good evening to you and your panelists. And first, let me say special season's greetings to y'all, and I hope you all have a very good Christmas and a prosperous New Year.
Sure.
Andrew, congratulations on getting that award.
Thank you very much.
A couple
indeed.
Of days ago.
Thank you very much indeed.
I think you have worked tremendously hard over the past month. You know, both here and up the hill. You know, with your programming. And you deserve it tremendously.
Thank you.
Now, Andrew, I think the West Indies, I think they need to try and draw this game, not trying to win it. So if you try to win it, they'll never get beat. So you think they should try to draw this. You know, I think they should still come up with a smile on their face. But the batsmen need to bat. And the bowlers, I think Philo, the former hard-hitting batsman, talk about the bowlers bowling outside the off stump. They wouldn't put the ball on the wicket. And I think that is part of the downfall. They should need to put the ball more on the stumps, chance the batsmen to play a shot. Because good players are not going to go fishing outside the off stump. And when it comes to our players, we are going fishing outside the off stump. For what reason, I don't know. Now, if Braffitt does not get any good scores in this one, I think it is time that you should give him a rest. Let him come back and play some more cricket. It don't make sense. Find some other players. They need to make some hard decisions. They can't. The innings should be off to a very good start. And I realize that Braffitt is getting out too simple. I don't think he used to get out like that when he played on the 13 and 14 and 15. But it is showing up tremendously now at this level. Too regular. But I hope wish the boys well. But first, I think they should try and see if they can save this game. Don't get beat. We have to go to win this game. We think they'll be able to lose it.
All right. Well, Randolph, thanks very much. We got another call, but let's quickly go before we take that call to Sir Clive. Sir Clive, I mean, as a former West Indies captain, I mean, you've been part of a successful side. But every time the West Indies play, we lose. I mean, it can't be a good feeling.
Well, you see, we have quite a few problems in the sense that most of the guys who are playing or should be playing often are not keen on playing test cricket.
Ooh.
So we're chopping and changing too often. You have to have a team working together. And you don't have that. I mean, if you keep losing, you'll get rid of players, because the obvious thing is that if you're winning, and that's what we did, and that was my take, in the sense that if I'm winning, I have no insularity. We get rid of that because you're winning and everybody wants to join a winning team. And the point is that we just, we don't have this fight in us. It's like we are asking people to play cricket these days.
That's true.
You know, very true. And I want to know if we have guys who are keen enough to play West Indies cricket and play it, you know, professionally. We just don't, we're not doing that. And I think we can get as many coaches as you want. But if you don't have those skills, we will struggle. I know, and I heard about the facilities. We've been playing with that for years. We didn't have any of the facilities that they have now. But the point is we're dedicated. We want it to do well. And we have to find out from these young men. And they have abilities, no doubt about that. They have ability. You know, young Brooks and people like that, but, you know, Chase, but they're not consistent. And for you to be a good player, you have to be, or a great player, you have to be consistent. If you have players who are averaging 20 and 15, as I said before, if I'm the opposing captain, I'm on to winner because I know you can't bat long. Because you cannot be a good player averaging 20 in test matches.
Oh dear.
You have to get up in the high 40s or 40 around that area. And that is the problem that we have. If we don't have good openers and we don't have number three, if you lose an opener and you lose that number three, they're into your middle. So you're one of your best players, if not your best player, should be your number three player. Greg Chappell, Viv Richards, Colin Cowdrey. You know, those sort of people who can hold the fort if they lose an early wicket. We have to have all those things in place. And I think that it's important that we have an academy that will produce good players. We have to have people there who will be working with the male and the females, giving their impetus. Let them know what is needed for the longer game or for cricket in general.
All right. Now, let's go and take another call. Can we? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
I
want to ask a couple of questions before I say, and I believe you can understand me before I say what I want to say. Do you remember we played cricket in 1957 in England, and Everton Weeks was out of form. And even when he ducked from balls, at sometimes the balls hit his stump. You think you remember anything like that?
You tell me.
Yeah, well, okay. Then we had men that come out and look pretty at the wicket, including one we called Sakyar, and score 20 runs in a match and score when time near time for him to be dropped. He would score a big a century or something. So now I'm only drawing this as a reference. We had no coaches at that time. But men fought for play. Everton Weeks didn't get dropped. And I believe Clive Lloyd can back this. Charles Hooper didn't get that much. Or was always up for a drop, but he didn't really get dropped.
No.
We have, and I'm looking at it from this point, Shea Hope. He started to feel, but he was one of the best of our prospects for this era. And what happened with him, he was quite down because it is an off time for them. We need to build the confidence in these fellas. Otherwise, they're going through the shoot.
All right. Well, thanks for your contribution, caller. Can we sneak another one in? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome. Oh, okay. Let's come back. Toby, do you believe, and just follow up on the question that was asked by course Dr. Andrew Ford, do you think it was a mistake by Cricket West Indies to have relieved our very good friend, Mr. Pybus, on reflection?
I don't think it was the right decision. No, I think the team was winning. It had just beaten England. It had leveled the series in the one-day competition. The players were in a good place. Everybody knew their roles. Why would you change a winning setup and a winning team? No, I don't think either was a poor decision.
So you really believe?
But it didn't fit the incoming. But the incoming president said he didn't want foreign coaches, didn't he? He went public and said that he wanted local coaches to take the jobs. And obviously, right. Richard Pybus was South African. Mm-hmm. I'm English, even though I spent a lot of time in the Caribbean and thoroughly enjoyed it. And my wife is West Indian. She's from Trinidad.
Right.
But it didn't fit the incoming president's plan, which was to have all local coaches. So the minute he said that, clearly they were going to move off. And I think eight of us lost our jobs the minute he came in.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Dr. Ford, as an administrator, you think that was the right thing to do?
Well, I didn't agree with the decision since they were doing well. And the players, unless they weren't being forthright, also came out with genuine support for the coaching staff and said things which were very complimentary. So I believe that if a discussion was had with the players and they thought that it needed to be executed and a new coaching group needed to be picked, then I think I would have done it. I don't think as an administrator, I would hope that they liaised with the players and got their opinion. Mm-hmm. But what seems incongruent is that the players were saying good things about the coaching staff, and then the coaching staff was changed completely, as well as the election staff. I believe as an administrator, even if you're coming into a new group, some time must be spent in observation and seeing the landscape. But one can argue that the incoming administrators were a part of the last administration, so they knew very well what was going on. Mm-hmm. But as I've shown you earlier today, about the batsmen going all the way back from the 70s till now and what's happened, I think we've had some bright spots in the T20s at intervals, but I think that was something worth persevering with until they worked themselves out of the system, meaning that the staff would have had to have failed and come back to the futility of the other coaches before they were changed, because every other change was based on failure. And I think that time frame that Pybus was given was just too short in order to assess if he was inefficient like the other coaches that we've had. Because when we reflect on even Phil's first tenure as coach, his win-loss in tests didn't set the world on fire. And one may argue he's won a test here and there, but it was something that didn't need to be done. You don't need to change what doesn't need to be changed. Mm-hmm. You know, you keep what's going for you going and work on the other things. Because as we mentioned today, our weakness is facilities. Right. So it has to do with our weakness is marketing. Our weakness is trying to get TV rights negotiated, which should have been done long before COVID. Reorganizing the secretariat and stuff is important, but I think we didn't focus on our hierarchy of needs weren't met and followed, I don't think, so far in the tenure of this new administration.
Philo, your reaction?
Well, Andrew, obviously, when you look at it, the success that Toby Radford had, you know, along with the backroom staff and Richard Pybus in that series, obviously the West Indies cricket was on a high. But, you know, the presidency changed and they came with their 10-point plan for West Indies cricket first. My thing is that they said they're going to employ local coaches, but I know in New Zealand, all of them are local. I know some of those guys in that backroom staff are not local. I wonder, is it true to form? So I was one that was shocked because obviously I thought that Richard Pybus would have gone up to the World Cup. You're doing assessment after the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And get Mr. Pybus to either buy into what is happening or try to see what he's doing right to take some stuff away if you're going to even take it away after the World Cup. But to just ask him after beating England, you know, it was a bitter pill to swallow, but they came in with their plan. And obviously now I believe that they'll do a reassessment of that plan because the buttons that they're pushing, obviously we have not really seen green. We've seen a lot of red. So we're still back at square one with what with our policies to take cricket forward in West Indies.
All right.
And someone that is missing from the conversations, Andrew, is our director of cricket.
Oh, Jimmy. Well,
what is happening? Yeah, what's all this?
All right. Well, we just got another couple of seconds left on the show. We're going to leave, of course, those couple of seconds with the great man, Sir Clive. Sir Clive, the second test match starts tomorrow, local time, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Your expectations? You think the boys can perform? What do you think, Sir Clive? Talk to me.
Well, it's going to be an uphill task. There's no doubt about that. But this is test cricket. It's hard work. You've got to put in the effort. You cannot just decide that, you know, tomorrow the test match and I'm just going to apply myself. It's something that you got to think of. You got to sleep and eat cricket. The guys have got ability, but it's quite obvious. Can you hear me?
Yes, we're listening.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. It's no doubt about that. But the point is, if they want to do well, they have to bat much better than they've done at the moment. And the bowling too has been sort of iffy. It's going to be tough. There's no doubt about that.
Right. Well, Sir Clive, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. Thanks to you, Toby Radford. We got to do a part three. And, of course, fellow Wallace, always good to have you there. And, of course, early we heard from Brian Waddle. And thanks to you, of course, Dr. Ford. Well, things are not looking good for the West Indies. I suppose you've got to feed your faith, and doubt will starve to death. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.